amazing, amazing, amazing. Come on, it's just great being back. My family, the men of my dad's family, that would be my dad, my brother Brent, my brother Todd, those are the troublemaker Obergfels, and then myself, the good son. And then Todd's son Jackson came, and then, of course, Carter and Ethan. We all went to the Bills game last week to celebrate my dad, and just it was the first time I think all the Obergfell men went to a football game together, as my older brother is a diehard Redskins fan who lives out west in Seattle, and just it was an amazing, amazing Sunday. Jerry Clark killed it last week. Absolutely amazing, intense message. If you missed it, go online and catch it. He preached a powerful word last week. Powerful word. And just it was great going to the Bills game and having so much fun. And of course, I was decked in Steeler gear. I had my Steelers hat on. I had a big, bright yellow Steeler jacket. I pronounced the Steelers are present in this stadium. And of course, we were in the non-alcoholic section, but 3 feet away was the alcoholic section. So we didn't miss too much of the alcohol. So a drunk came over to me and says, why are you wearing that? And I said, well, why are you wearing that? And then he walked on. So it was just it was an amazing encounter with a drunk Bills fan. Come on. But we had a great, it was a great day. Came back for Seek. And Seek was amazing. It was incredible, Seek. And I love Seek where it comes from, that place of setting the month in order. And putting tone to the month. Like, what is this month going to be? And I tell you what, it was just so amazing that for the next several weeks, we're going to be preaching off of Seek. Because there was just something in my heart from Seek. If you're here from Seek, you heard me go into this place of what it means to face it. We are called to face a mountain before us. We're called to see that which is before us and face it. What God has put on your plate, face it. What you know God's called you to do, face it. But how many times do we turn and burn? How many times do we run away? How many times do we ignore it? If there's sin in our life, face it. If we need to forgive somebody and we're not, face it. Like there's so many things in our world that we just want to ignore or depress or just run away from and not have to face it, whether it's insecurities, whether it's fear, whether it's just I don't want to, whatever that looks like, whatever dish you've been given in life, you come to this place in Christ to say, I got to face it. And church, we're gonna cover two people today, but I only got through one in the first service. We will pick up the second one in the second service. So if you would turn with me, please, to just Esther. We were going Esther, Jonah, but we're just going to go Esther for sake of time. And I love this because when you begin to dig into the characters of this Bible, I think even myself, I can be guilty of this, that I don't forget that these are real stories, that these are absolutely true, that this really happened. But sometimes I forget about the characters just being regular people. Sometimes we think, we kind of equate them to being like the superheroes. We kind of equate them to being like the Marvel Avengers, like they have some special gift, or maybe the incubator blew up and everybody became Flash in the Old Testament and New Testament. Like sometimes we look at these people in Scripture, and honestly, I think sometimes we forget that they're just people. They're just people. Just like you. Just like me. They're just people. Man, this is the deal. Today, man, I want to coach today, man. I want us to be going through this word to know I can face it. Matter of fact, when I'm done with this, I can run through a wall because I know that God is for me. Who can be against me? I know how great my God is. And if he's put something on my plate, I'm going to face it. I'm done running. I'm done complaining. I'm done whining. I need to get the thumb out of my mouth and face it. I need to realize who I am in Christ. I need to know that the creator of the universe, who spoke the sun, the moon, the stars in a day, in a sentence, which means there is nothing difficult for him. Nothing is difficult for him. And these amazing, incredible men and women of the scripture. They're just men and women. Nothing dynamic. Nothing supernatural about them. They weren't born in any other way, except for a man and a woman coming together, enjoying marriage enhancement. And the result is a gift of a child. They're just people. Who had a trust in a supernatural God. Who, when they put their hope and their trust in him, watch this, something took place on the inside that they really owned it. They believed, what can man do to me? If God is for me, who can be against me? The Lord is my helper. This is what I'm confident in. Why am I afraid? They faced that. They had to face that. They came to a place to do what we read about today through these amazing, amazing men and women in Scripture. You've got Moses, who came to the place to be the spokesman for God. Moses, I want you to be my spokesperson. I don't speak. No, Moses, you're going to be my spokesperson. Matter of fact, you're going to go before Pharaoh. You're going to get in his face, and you're going to tell him you're going to let God's people go. Wait a minute. God, I don't speak. You're my spokesperson. I don't speak. You're my spokesperson. I stutter. They're not even going to understand me. No, face it, Moses. What happens, church? When you take an Abraham who had no clue where he was going, had no GPS, and then God just said, walk. What? Just walk. Everywhere you go, I'm giving you. Can I have a location? No. What? No. Just walk. But can I put in my coordinates? Can I put in my... No. Abraham, face it. We park, you could do that with so many different characters in Scripture. We park on Esther because we see this teenage girl who, by the way, is just a teenage girl. Don't superhero these people, please. Because I want us, honestly, man, this is where I want to be in this, is I want you and I, us, you and me, to come to a place to look at them in Scripture to say, if they could do it, I can do it. They're no different from me. They're just people. And if God has called me to something, then I must have something inside of me to be able to face it. Come on, Esther 1 says this, verse 1. Now it took place in the days of Azarias, and this was the king. Azarias, who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. You got to realize something. That is a humongous piece of property. When the Bible speaks of the world in this time, guess what? Cattaraugus County did not exist. Olean, New York was not a dot. So when you look at India to Ethiopia, you're looking at a huge, huge, huge piece of the known world. Azarias was the greatest, most powerful man on the planet at this rating. He was in charge of 127 provinces. He just ran ground, conquered ground, took over. The most powerful man in the world was King Azarias. When you come to this place to begin to understand where he is in life and the property that he has conquered, he is kind of running the world, so to speak. So you look at this. And you got to see the king, he is an arrogant king. He is a dangerous man. He is ruthless. And he cares about himself. And he cares about his ground and his arrogant ways of declaring how great he is. And he throws this party to show off his riches, to show off his glory, to show off all that he has done, all that he has done. Watch this. This is great. And in those days, King Azarias sat on the royal throne, which was in the citadel in Susa. In the third year of his reign, he was 35 years old at this point, a young man who thinks he has it all. He gave a banquet for all his princes, all his attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media, the nobles, the princes of the province being in his presence. Listen, this is his A-game, man. He's bringing everybody together for a party. All of his top guys. He's bringing them all together. Watch this. This is huge. How long does your parties usually last? Right? If you have a party, it's like, oh, we'll have a night out. Amazing. Incredible. Maybe it's a couple-day party. Maybe if you're a college student, maybe it's a weekend party. Who knows? And you look at this. And he displayed, look at verse 4, the riches of his royal glory and the splendor of his great majesty for many days. Watch this now, 180 days. What? you mean, okay, hold on. So the king, with the finest food, open bar, best wine, all you can drink, he threw a bash for 6 months. You mean a half of a year? 6 months they had a party. Yep. For what? Show off. And then he does something where he wants to bring in his queen, Queen Vashti, and he says, listen, I want you to come in. I want you to parade around the guys. And she did something that was quite amazing, that she dishonored this king, and this king was a ruthless man. And she's like, I am not going in after a six-month bash of open bar, could you imagine? And parade myself around like your prize. And in that dishonor, he took to a place to say, I am done with you, and put her out. And then he has this competition to kind of replace the queen. And it said that it's up to 4,000. Watch this now. 4,000 women became contestants to come before the king. And they go into a whole year's prep. Women after women after women after women after women. We don't even know how long this process took. Each one of them was in, many of them were in that prep, but it took a year to prep, and you came to a place that this young lady named Esther, which was a teenager at the time, who was an orphan where her parents were deceased many years before this, and she was adopted by her cousin, or some would say maybe her uncle Mordecai, both of the Jewish descent. Out of 4,000 women, the king chooses her. The king chooses Esther or Hadassah. So she comes in, she begins to sit as queen, she begins to reign as queen. And a couple years pass, and you come to this place where there's another player in this story named Haman. And there's a huge backstory. We don't have time for the backstory of how Haman and his descendants, they hated the Jews. Hated the Jews. And Haman was the second one in command. There was the king, and then there was Haman. Second one in command. Had huge power. Had huge authority. Had huge dominion. Had huge reign. And then you've got Mordecai. Remember, this is the one who took Esther in as the adoptee. And Mordecai told Esther, listen, because you've been chosen, don't ever let on that you're of the Jewish descent. You need to hold that in your pocket. Hold that. Don't let them know that you're Jewish. Put it in your pocket. So here you've got Haman, who comes against Mordecai because Mordecai did some things and was placed in a higher place, and then he wouldn't bow down to Haman. That would break the law that he served one God. And then all of a sudden, Haman gets a rip from Mordecai, and Haman comes up with this idea because of Mordecai being Jewish that now he goes before the king. Remember, King Azarias is not a kind king. He's ruthless. He's a horrible man. And he says, listen, there are some people in our provinces of the Jewish descent. They're going to come against your kingship, and we need to wipe them all out. We need to kill them all. You got to remember, this was almost the world. King, I need you. I need your signet ring because I'm going to write up a law that the law was crazy. We're going to have the right to go into their homes of the Jewish descent and we're going to kill them. But the law has to say that you're not allowed to fight back. Well, that stinks. So the king says, that's a good idea. So now this law has been passed. And it was a law that was irreversible. They say, we're coming. And letters went out to all of the Jewish descendants and said, we're coming to your house and we're going to kill you and you can't fight back. Because the whole point was to eliminate the Jewish race. Wait a minute. So you're saying that the plan, because of Haman's hatred for a race, the plan was to try to eliminate the race, which, by the way, were God's people. Yeah, that was the plan. So did all the Jewish armies, did all the Jewish men, did they come, did they gather together to charge the gate, to overcome the king, to say, this isn't going to happen? No, that didn't happen. What took place? What was the plan so this didn't happen? What stood in the way of this? There's no way that this can happen. What stood in the way of this? Well, there's a young woman named Esther. And then Mordecai begins to communicate with Esther. If you could turn over to chapter 4, please. And I love this communication. Because if you can just see Esther, now she's comfortable in the palace. It's been years and she's queen. She's by the king's side, man. She's it. You've got the king and the queen of this humongous 127 provinces. And then there's this plan that took place that the king agreed to wipe out a Jewish nation. Not knowing that her queen is Jewish. And then you've got Esther. Wait, hold on. So you're telling me that the reality is, one young woman stands in the way of Jewish race being eliminated in these regions. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. So what was so special about her? She was an orphan. She lost her parents at a very young age. Well, what else? Well, she wasn't given the golden spoon. Like, she was just a girl. That's it. Church, the huge point today is this. These people are just like us. And we are just like them. Nothing special. Not born amazing. Not born with superhero powers. Just born. And you've got this amazing conversation with Mordecai and Esther. And here they're communicating through people. Because Mordecai's kind of on the outside of the fence. And he's trying to communicate with Esther. And he's the one who's like, listen, this is what's taking place. Haman has come against our race. Haman is looking to take out our race. And let's pick this up. This is amazing. Verse 13 says this. And Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. Hey, Esther, get this. Don't imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish.
Hey, Esther, you got to get the big picture here. Guess what? You being the queen, you being now comfortable, you sitting at the right side, you being in your place of honor as queen, that's not going to save you. You got to get this. Hey, Esther, don't think for a moment that you being the queen, that this doesn't hit you. If you stay silent at this time, you, everyone in your house, will perish. Esther, this is going to happen. Esther, there's no stopping this. Don't think that you can keep quiet. What was he saying? Hey, Esther, you got to face this. You got to face this. She's just a young lady. She's just an orphan. Out of 4,000 contestants, the one person who could make the difference was put in that place. Coincidence? Come on, church, we know more than that. This is what he says. This is the charge, man. This is everyone knows this statement. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Esther, don't think you're just going to be okay. Don't think that it's by mistake. Who knows, Esther? We do walk in a fear of God. We are his chosen people. Who knows? Maybe you were put in this position. I love how he drops seed in her spirit. For just a time as this, for right here, for right now, in this moment, Esther, make a choice. Esther, make a choice. Face it. Face it. There was something, watch this, church, and this is, I love this because this could be the same for you and me. There's nothing special about Esther. There's nothing special about me and you. We're just people. But we belong to a mighty God. And there was something that rose up within her. There's something that Mordecai spoke to her that began to speak into her spirit. And this is where she landed. And then Esther said to them, reply to Mordecai, verse 16 now, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And my maidens will fast the same way. And thus I will go to the king, which is not according to the law. She says, listen, this is not the time to go. I, being the queen, I'm not even allowed in his presence. Unless you're an invited guest into the king's presence. There was a season that was happening according to the law that nobody was allowed into the king's presence without an invite. And if you walked into the king's presence, it was so dishonorable that your head would roll immediately. Even for the queen. And she knew it. She got it. She's like, listen, this is not the time. I just can't go cuddle up and have a conversation with the king. And we see how when the first queen showed such dishonor to the king, he put her out. And here you've got Esther going, listen, this isn't the right time. Then she lands on this. Look at the rest of the verse. She says, for if I perish, I perish. I'll face it. I'll face it. It's time to step forward. And you see where she comes to the room and she
She sort of knocks on the door. And at any moment, the king could have taken her head. But he invites her in and grants her the golden scepter. She came to this place to have such courage to say, I know what I got to do. If I don't do it, there's consequences. Just maybe for such a time as this, maybe this is why I'm here, right now. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to face it. And because of that, this whole plot unfolded. She reveals her race. And another law was written. It's amazing because the first one couldn't be rescinded, but another one could be written that the people could fight back. I'll be honest, I'd have a problem if the government said, I'm coming to your house to kill you and you can't fight back. I'd have a problem with that. But he wrote another law that said, you're allowed to fight back. And truly, she saved her people because she faced it. Church, what is it that's on your plate? Next week we get into Jonah, and I'm so juiced. Jonah was my favorite part of this today, but I'm going to get there tomorrow or next week. Don't miss Jonah. Because there's Jonah's a story where God told him to do something, and he refused to face it. He ran away from it, but God pursued and followed and made him turn around and face it anyways. That's next week. But what's on your plate? Now, you got to face your sin. You got to face your unforgiveness. Do you know that God has put something on your plate that you need to do? You know that the call that God has on your life, that you're in this place today, say, man, I feel like I can face it. It's time to act. It's time to do. It's time to go. Right here. Right now. For such a time as this. Maybe this is the wake up to say, stop running. It's time to face it. Man, when you know the truth, if God is for me, who can be against me? When you know the power of God, when you know the person of God, when you know that God is everywhere all at once, God knows everything. There's nothing He doesn't know. And God is all powerful. He can do anything. And if I know that's my God who leads me, and if I know that's my God who's called me, then I know that's my God and just the person that I am. Nothing supernatural here. No superhero attributes, just me. A man who will say, I'll face it. I'll face it because I know who my God is. I'm done complaining. I'm done whining. I'm done coming to this place to say, God, what have you done for me lately? It's time for you and me to honestly grow up, be strong, be courageous, be fearless, and say, it's time to face it. Come on, would you look at this last verse, Hebrews 13, 6. I want you to see this. Because when you walk in this place, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. When I know that the Lord is my helper, who the Lord, all present, all powerful, all knowing Lord, He is my helper. Watch it. I will not be afraid. Can I ask you, why are we afraid? If we see this amazing character in Esther, this young lady who stood before the king. If I die, I die. But I'm going down swinging.
I'm going down, stepping towards and not running away. If I perish, I'm going to be perishing, doing what I feel God's called me to do. If I go down, I go down swinging. I'm not running away. I get it, this is my call. I get it, this is what I'm called to do. Church, what's on your plate? Watch this. Why am I afraid? When I know the Lord is my helper, there's the confidence that comes with that. I will not be afraid for what can man do to me. Come on, Proverbs 29, 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap to fear man. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Where do you put your trust? You and I, just the simplicity of who we are as just men and women, could come to a place to say, it's God in me. And I'll face it. And I'll stand strong. And I'll walk in a place that will be honoring to him, because I will not fear what man can do to me. Come on, if you would just stand to your feet, please. As we close, and I'm asking you, church, what is it? What is it that you need to face? What is it that you've turned your back to? Come on, even in just us as men and women, have we allowed fear to kind of creep in? Well, I'm asking today, that today's the day we kick it out. Today's the day we can bold. Today's the day we get confident and just in a decision, church. Look at, please hear this, man. Esther just made a decision. That's all she did. It was after 3 days. You don't have to wait a month. You don't have to wait a year. When is my situation going to change? It's in a choice. You make a choice. 3 days she fasted. 3 days she didn't eat or drink. She concentrated and focused. And in 3 days she made a decision, man. She made a choice. And that choice is, I'm going to face it. And if I die, I die. But I'm going in. I'm going down swinging. I'm going in confident. I'm going to not be afraid. Man, what can man do to me? Church, it comes down to a choice to say, God, you and me, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to allow fear to begin to take a foothold. I'm not going to allow fear to begin to creep in. No, I want faith to begin to boil up. I want courage from my inside, from my gut. God, I want to be strong in my gut. And I want to be courageous. God, I want to be fearless. And whatever's on my plate, I'm going to make a decision to face it. I'm going to make a decision to face it. For what can man do to me? And as Tracy sings this, I'm just asking, whatever that is for you, that you would make a decision. To be courageous, to be bold, to be not afraid. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. For what can man do to me? Come on, let's face it.